I'd call the meeting order. All please rise. Join me in a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our deputy clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Weston.
Present.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
Councilmember Henson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Want to see if you guys are paying attention?
She did odd first.
Well, that was the strangest order we've seen in a while.
I was just reading.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Just see if you're paying attention.
Okay. Good job. All present and accounted for. Next up on the agenda is the public comment period. This is the period where members of the audience can come speak to the council. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda, anything you'd like to address the council that's not on tonight's agenda. We have someone standing up, so I guess you're first. Welcome, sir.
Good evening.
You want to get to the podium and say your name and everything?
Heinrich, 2178 Ferndale Terrace. Got a couple questions for you people. I would like the mayor to read this, especially the top line or so.
Would you like me to read it?
Yep.
Okay. So RCW 46.61.400, basic rule and maximum limits, no person shall drive a vehicle on a highway at a speed greater than is reasonable and prudent under the condition and have regard to the actual and potential hazards then existing. In every event, speed shall be so controlled as it may be necessary to avoid colliding with any person, vehicle, other convenience, and or entering the highway in compliance with legal requirements and the duty of all persons to use due care. That's the first paragraph. So is that enough? Or?
Don, I want to see what it is in the town, in the residential area.
Where would you like me to read? Or 25 miles per hour on city and town streets?
Yes, sir. Is that what you understand?
25 miles per hour in the city limits unless otherwise posted.
Okay. How come it's 50 miles an hour on my street? And I've asked many times to have it taken care of. And who writes the RCW and do you restrict me?
Do you have a question in there? Or?
Yeah. Who writes the RCW?
Well, I think you know that answer. If you have people going 50 miles an hour in front of your house, they're breaking the law. It's as simple as that. I think you know the answer to that.
Well, why isn't it enforced then? You write the law, you don't enforce it. Number one.
We're not going to sit here and debate whether or not we enforce laws in Ferndale.
Okay, fine. Thank you. You don't respect the citizens other ways.
No, that's not a proper statement to make.
There's a couple of pictures. It cost me $6,000 for that. Because the wife fell on your sidewalk that has a very unstable surface on it. Here's another one. Your thing, if you don't respect the table, you put a sidewalk out, then you block it and make it so impassable it's unreal. End of statement.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else from the audience like to come forward and speak? Anyone from the audience? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move off the public comment period. And council before you is the consent agenda.
Move to accept.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilperson Ingram and seconded by Councilperson Hansen to accept the consent agenda. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries 7-0. Okay, moving on, public hearing on the 2015 budget. Staff would report first.
Good evening, council members and staff and members of the public. 2015 operating budget. We've been working on this for a few months. I know y'all considered various revenue decision cards and various expense decision cards. Many of those decision cards on the expense side were implemented. We're very close to a balanced budget. There's no change from 2 weeks ago. We are underwater in the general fund, the current expense fund number 001. We're underwater 18,257. That's 0.2% within balance. Now, there's a reasonable reserve cash balance at this year end, a little over $1.3 million predicted in the general fund. So there's cash balance available to, if you will, make up the difference in this small deficit. Any questions? Unless, if there are none, I will sit down.
Any questions for staff?
This is a public hearing, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. But you can have technical questions.
That's
okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You must be doing your job with no questions. Okay, this is a public hearing, so a public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience member who have signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you're unable to sign up before the meeting, you'll be given an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name, address the record, and will be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on this issue, we will encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. We have two public hearings, so I'll only read that little speech once. So, I don't see anyone on the sheets. Would anyone like to come forward and talk on the 2015 budget? It's exciting. I can tell you're all ready to jump up. High school kids want to talk. They're looking all intent.
It's your money.
They're like, give me this. Okay, so at 6:06:46, I'll open the public hearing. And at 6:06:50, I'll close the public hearing. Council, your direction. Councilperson Mutchler.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Council to consider, and I'll put in a motion. First of all, I'm really pleased that we're waiting on the nonprofits, the grants. I think that was appropriate. But I'm uncomfortable not supporting the food bank. And I believe they were requesting $3,600. I'm doing that by memory. Does that sound about right, Mr. Peterson?
Give me a moment. And
is that right?
Yes, it's right in there. Yeah.
And I think we can do that. And that's one group I prefer not see hanging. So I'd like to make a motion that we at this time add the food bank to the budget, and then, of course, look at the other ones later when things look a little differently.
I'll second.
Okay, moving second. It's up for discussion.
3,600 is correct.
Thank you.
Councilperson Hansen.
If we're going to consider one, let's consider them all. I see absolutely no reason to now separate. I like the food bank. I'm going to support the food bank's request in February or March or whenever we do it after we know the actual ending cash balance. That's probably one of the first ones I'm going to support. But I can't see singling out one and saying, you're more important than the others. I just won't do that.
Further discussion, Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, I think they're all important, but I am comfortable saying this one is more important because we're dealing with people's food and necessities of life. The other ones are important, but not at the same level as people's hunger and needs as needing food in their lives. So I will support it.
Councilperson Watson?
Just for the record, the money the senior center wants is for the senior center lunches. So that's lunches for the seniors 5 days a week. It's hunger for everyone.
But the seniors also need the food bank, too, so they can find resources there. I see it as a little more important.
Okay. I'm also not going to support it. I don't want to start pulling them out and picking favorites.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, we're going to vote on the amendment. Moved and seconded, moved by Councilperson Mushroom and seconded by Councilperson Olson. All in favor of that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, it appears that it fails 5-2 with Councilperson Olson and Councilperson Mutchler in support. Councilperson Watson?
Question for the main motion. Oh, you were just amending. Okay.
Amendment. So, Councilperson Hansen?
I move we pass the budget as presented.
Second.
Okay. Now, your
now
question.
I can ask you a question.
Go forward.
Thank you. I'm still very uncomfortable with the Meadows planning to get $150K from them. Is it Is there a time frame that you're thinking about when you're doing your purchases this year to make sure that we're really going to get that $150K from the Meadows?
I'm going to turn towards planning director or probably a finance director question.
Councilmember, would you please repeat the question? I'm not sure I quite understood the first time.
I'm concerned that we're planning on the Meadows giving us $150K this year. And so we've got a lot of things that we're going to be using that money for in the general fund. Are we going to wait until we start to see something happening at the Meadows before we start spending the money?
I guess the short answer is no. Most of our expenditures are labor and payroll related. There are a few discretionary non-labor items that could be delayed to the second half of the year. However, like I said, most of it's labor and labor related.
You need further discussion on the motion, Councilor Mutchler?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm in a motion. Move for motions and amendments today. I don't think we've passed a budget since I've been on council that has been a negative budget. I don't know if the mayor has either, but I think there's a way for us to zero this out that doesn't hurt the city, and it's very proper, very ethical. And I believe we can do that by transferring surplus solid waste revenues for next year that are projected. They're not being spent into the general fund. It's legal to do that. It's discretionary money that we could do. And I'd like to make the motion that we move $18,500, roughly the deficit, to the general fund, and so we don't have to pass a negative budget this year. And I'm hoping there's a second, and we can discuss that possibility there.
I will second for the discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, seconded by Councilperson Watson. Okay, open for discussion. Councilperson Hansen.
Well, there's also another way, and that is to transfer the money out of the reserve accounts, because there is a general fund reserve, and you could transfer the money from the reserve account, which is essentially what Mark is saying when he says we have the deficit, because if I remember correctly, we have to pass a balanced budget, which means if the budget is in the red, that money's got to come from one of the reserve accounts.
Clarification to the finance director?
Well, that's essentially correct. We're required to pass a balanced budget, and the balanced budget consists of beginning cash balance plus revenues for 2015 equals a subtotal of available cash less budget expenses. So certainly our beginning cash and our 2015 revenues is much higher than expenditures. So in that sense, it's balanced.
Can you tell us what would be, in your opinion, the negativity of an unbalanced budget by the end of the year? We're going to balance it by the end of the year, but passing it tonight unbalanced, what is your opinion?
I don't have one.
Councilperson Hanson.
Well, the expenditure, we don't know until approximately the 20th of January what the expenditures for 2014 are, because the auditors make us pay all of our bills that have been incurred in 2014. Essentially, this is how it works, and pay them at the beginning of 2015. So we don't even know what our ending cash balance is for sure at this point. As I look back and remember previous budgets, there's always a positive cash balance. Budgets end up underspent. Therefore, this is not going to be a negative budget. It's just that it's how much is left in that cash position. I certainly would not be here supporting an $18,000 deficit if I believed that we were going to spend more than we take in. But that also includes all of the reserve funds and this ending cash balance, which could be several hundred thousand dollars.
It's predicted to be $1.3 million.
$18,000 out of $1.3 million.
And that was what percentage of the $18,000 was what percent? 1 point.
We're in deficit. If you just look at revenues and expenditures, we're about 0.2% out of balance.
Okay. Councilperson Goodrich.
I can't support this amendment strictly from the point that I don't think tonight is the point to decide this. I think we need to wait and see where the best thing is. Just because solid waste was thrown out there, is that the best place to get the money, or is it out of the reserves or whatever? And I just don't feel comfortable making that decision tonight on where we're going to pull the money without, you know, further looking at things. So I'm not going to support it.
Further discussion anywhere? Councilor Mutchler?
I will support the budget with the minor purchase that we didn't need to pass it with a $80,000 deficit. We have the money in the revenue stream that's not been spent anywhere else, but I don't sense the support for the amendment. So I'll support the amendment, and I'll also support the budget when it comes to final vote.
It's been moved and seconded. Oh, yeah. Still vote. Okay. Further discussion on the Councilperson Watson?
I'm not going to support the amendment either. I don't like the idea of taking it from solid waste, and I do want to see where the union negotiations end up before we move too much around. I hope you understand how uncomfortable this makes us, because we're always told that we need to pass it without, and just seeing that negative number makes me very uncomfortable, and I'm very uncomfortable about the Meadows. There's a lot about the budget I'm uncomfortable about, but there's a lot of unknowns right now, and so I'm willing to start the year and see where we end up after the first quarter. But there are still a lot of unknowns, and I hope you understand we're not trying to be a pain. We just are, there's some discomfort right now where we are.
Councilperson Olson?
I'm not going to support it either, but the whole concept is kind of bizarre to me, because we do how many budget amendments a year where we drag things back out?
12, 14.
Thank you. And make it balanced. So we're going to catch up with it, and like he said, we have the reserve money, so that's a drop in the bucket.
But reserve is reserve. I mean, reserve is not take what you need. Reserve is you're taking from your emergency fund is how I see reserve. Maybe other people see reserve differently. For me, reserve is emergencies. It's not your living expenses. I have a reserve fund, an emergency fund at home, and I don't take from it as I need it.
What I meant by that was it's there, but we have another 12 months and another 12 budget amendments to make everything balanced before it's not balanced.
Well, there's some unicorns and rainbows that have to happen, too, so...
Just take out of the stormwater fund if you like.
Your favorite slush fund?
Moving on, Councilperson Hanson.
Well, I would not be actually in favor of taking that out of the reserves. We just had a quick discussion. We're going to end the year with approximately $1.3 million in excess cash. That's not budgeted for nothing. Now, that could go to reserves, but it isn't being moved yet. Am I correct, Mark?
That's correct. It hasn't been moved in one of our two reserve funds.
So you've got $1.3 million that we're going to have in leftover unspent funds in 2014, and we're worried about
$18,000?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm worried about the $18,000, of course, but I'm not concerned that we're going to go bankrupt.
I'm not concerned about bankruptcy. I just have, you know, I'm anal retentive in how I comfort levels, pushing me out of my comfort.
Perfectly okay.
Thank you.
That is perfectly okay. Okay, any further discussion? Councilperson Mutchler.
I just think my point is that I don't think we've ever passed a budget that's upside down, and that was my main point. Maybe you guys had before I got here, but we hadn't, so we're going to tonight, it looks like.
Okay, so you have an amendment before you. We'll vote on the amendment first. All in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye. That's the one aye.
You got it.
Opposed?
Aye. No.
Aye.
Okay, the motion fails with only one yes, Councilperson Mutchler. Okay, on the main budget, any further discussion on that? Okay, seeing none, for the 2015 budget before you, as it exists right now tonight, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carries. Moving on, a robust discussion. Okay, this is another public hearing on the Zoning Text Amendment Ordinance. Welcome, Community Development Director Burnett.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. Chapter 18.16, Zones, Maps, and Boundaries, is a chapter that we have not updated since 2006. It's a chapter that basically lists our zones in the city, and it talks about how to use the zoning map that is behind you. Us not having updated it for 8 years does not change in any way any of the zoning text amendments that we've passed since that time. It was simply an oversight on my part and my predecessors. The Planning Commission has recommended approval. This does require a public hearing because it is in Chapter 18 of the Ferndale Municipal Code. We do not believe it changes any policy, but instead clarifies a number of things and, again, updates it. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
This is a public hearing. Technical questions of staff? No technical questions of staff. They're being easy on staff tonight, aren't they?
They're waiting.
Okay. No questions of staff. Okay, we'll move on. This is a public hearing, and I'll open the public hearing at 6:20:27. Would anyone in the public like to come forward and discuss this unbelievably exciting subject that you all completely understand in detail? Okay, these high school kids are with it. They're giving the look like, yeah, we're on this. We've been paying attention. Okay, at 6:20:44, this is just like easy.
Okay.
We close the public hearing. Awaiting action by council. Remember, this is a ordinance. Councilperson Mutchler.
Yeah, I move the updating of Municipal Code 18-16 as recommended by staff.
Second.
And the Planning Commission.
Seconded by Councilperson Watson. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you, Council.
Wow, we're just flying through this agenda.
Well, that's plenty of time.
I expected this to be way more controversial. Okay, well, this one will probably be just easy, and you'll all vote the way I want to, and it'll be great. So this is a presentation by the Parks, Recreation, and Trails Advisory Board. I'll call the chairman of the Parks, Recreation, and Trails Advisory Board up to speak. Welcome, sir.
Hello. Good evening. Rob Northhouse, 6944 Dahlberg Road, Ferndale. I'm the Park Board Chair. I'm here tonight to present a Park Board proposal to move forward with a Metropolitan Park District. Hopefully you all got all the paperwork associated with this.
Yes.
Clarification or questions or... I brought this forward last month, and quite a few questions were tossed at me, and they were all good questions, and we started thinking about it at the Park Board, and most of everything that we've been talking about has been over the past year or more, and we've discussed this in great detail. It's gone back and forth between all our Park Board members, and the questions that were brought up to us was, we haven't had a lot of people come and complain to us about the parks. Maybe the Park Board's kind of going a little crazy on this. Maybe we've jumped the gun. And so we started thinking about it. I started thinking about it. I did a survey a while back ago for the Star Park and talked to people what they thought about the Star Park, because the same questions were brought up to me then. Does anyone really want a big park? And it was good. It was good to hear what everyone was saying. So I decided we would present this to the public and go door to door, knock on doors, and see what they said, and see what answers we got. And that was the result of that survey that you see in that packet. So it was rather interesting. I enjoyed talking to everyone about it. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And I think it kind of followed what the Park Board's ideas were for the Metropolitan District. Most people were for it. Everyone wanted to see more happening in the Ferndale Park District. Yes.
Yeah, thank you for all this work. I just have a question. I thought I understood. Maybe I don't. The levy rate is decided at the ballot or by the board itself?
That has been going back and forth. We thought it was voted by the people, but it's been told to us that it's voted by the board.
So can we...
RCW says board.
So the numbers in the staff are kind of hypothetical numbers. They're not suggested numbers for a ballot initiative, a ballot measure.
The 25, 50, and 75?
Right. Yeah. So are the same like Iman limits? What are the limits?
It's 1% every year after the initial.
And so the initial amount has to be determined?
Yes.
By the board or by the...
By the board.
Okay,
so that's why we came up with 50 cents.
If I was a voter, and I'm going to vote yes, but I don't know for sure. I'm going to be voting for permission for a board and a district to develop.
Correct.
But I don't know the tax at the time of voting, do I?
Correct.
Is that seem like a tough one to sell?
You know, I thought so too, and that question has been brought up many times. But when I went around and talked with folks, and I explained to them exactly what it was, I wasn't trying to be sneaky or anything like that. They said, "Would you support a tax?" And they're like, "How much?
How much?"
And I'm like, well, you know, we're kind of, I explained to him, it's like, I don't think 25 is enough. 50 might be just right. 75, I think, is too much. And I told him, with 50 cents, I think that would be an adequate amount to keep us going for quite some years before we came back and said, yeah, we might need more. I go, if we go down to 25, I think that would not be sufficient. And then I explained the 1%. And after I explained all that, they went, oh, yeah, yeah, 50 cents is
fine. The board would be elected also, I believe. This is a separate board, right?
So, correct.
So the citizens will elect a board that would decide the initial rate, and then it can go up 1%?
Yeah, well, it's an elected board assuming that you do the parks district that's
right.
Greater than the city limits.
The creation of the parks district then creates the mechanism for the next election, or that would occur at that election?
At the same
time.
Election.
Okay, so you have a board established at that time. That board would meet and then establish the initial rate. They decide to do that. So in theory, you're voting for board members that you hope are voting for a rate that you prefer, I guess. I'm trying to think this all through. Is this how the Greenways works in Bellingham? That they initiate?
No.
Those are like...
My understanding is that the Greenways is actually a specific dollar amount.
That's for a specific project.
For a specific project or projects.
Linden has a metropolitan district.
They have a park district, not a metropolitan.
Oh, is it just city?
Yes. That's one of the biggest downfalls in this proposal, is that if you go with a park district, everything needs to be approved with a 61% approval rate, whereas a metro park district is a 51% approval rate. See, right now, they just got voted down. They wanted to put bathrooms and parking in Linden, but it was a 57% approval, but... Since they're a park district, they needed to have 61. If they had been a metro park district, they would have had their approval. And everything that they've tried to push forward in the past 4 or 5 years has always met with a 52% plus approval rate, but they can't get to that 61.
But I think if you look at it, there are different rates. Even the park district, if they try and float a bond issue for general obligation bonds, we'll need 60% no matter which way you go with it.
A general bond?
Yes.
It does.
Greenways that are a different animal, but they only take 50%.
Right.
Because they're essentially a lifting of the levy lid. And that's a 50% vote. There's a lot of unknowns, you know, in my head with this. There's a lot of positives at the same time.
I think there's a lot of positives.
So,
I mean, it's all kind of scary because it's all kind of new, and I understand that. And
I'm really uncomfortable with not having a rate. I realize the board has to do it, but I'm uncomfortable with throwing out saying that this elected board that you're going to put together is going to set my rate. And I have absolutely no say other than.
But does it help to know that
in Seattle, when they did the Metropolitan Board, you know, it is not locked in, and that was the opposition saying they could change this, but the board ran on, we intend to set the rate at this. Now, their one opposition wrote several letters. They're saying all of these board members, all five, are saying we're going to set this rate, but they could change it. He was correct. They could change it. They ran on the premise of, we are setting the rate at this, and it can't go above 1%. Obviously, someone could say, well, I don't believe them. Someone could put signs that says, do you trust the council on gas tax?
I can't imagine anyone would do that. Yeah.
You had to push that button.
So, Councilperson Goodrich was next. We do have two members of the Parks Board, if you want to ask them a question. The Parks Board member... Pete and Eric can come forward and ask. So, Councilperson Goodrich, your floor.
When this was first floated to the council, I don't know, almost maybe a year ago or whatever, I was kind of opposed to it. But then being the liaison to the Parks Board, it's been interesting to watch them debate amongst themselves this whole issue. And the different pros and cons and things, and then the 25 versus the 50 cents, going back and forth and the reasonings behind it and things. After sitting and listening to all that, I have changed my thinking on this whole issue, and I am for taking this, to the public and letting them vote, which is just because I've seen the work that the Parks Board has done behind the scenes, and it wasn't just get out the pens and they were calculating, and then one side had their figures and the other side had their figures on paper and debating and things, and so I think it has been well worked out by the Parks Board. I am, really appreciative of the work that you and the board have done on this issue, because it was a tough issue and it wasn't an easy issue for you guys to work on.
No.
I would like to see this going to go forward and, see what the public has to say on it. I don't know what the procedure is for tonight. If this is just a presentation, then it'll come back to somebody
maybe
later
you
on.
Can, because you were there and you're a councilperson for the young people in the audience, because they're going to be affected as much as anyone. Can you maybe explain to the audience the difference between a city boundaries and school, in the metropolitan district on school district boundaries, so the students who hopefully someday will enjoy the fruits of this situation will understand.
Yeah, that was one of the debates that was had is, well, what would be the boundaries of this district? Would it just be the city of Ferndale boundaries and therefore only affect the parks that are inside the city of Ferndale? Then it was, let's use the school district boundary because there's a lot of people that live in the school district that don't live in the city. And they use the parks here in Ferndale, even though they don't live in the city. And so that was one of the things looking at expanding it out to the school district boundaries. And then it also opens up with this new, parks board and commissioners that would be on this, is to look at, well, what about parks outside the city limits of Ferndale? Do we need a park up in Custer area or whatever? I'm not sure where all the boundary is or how it would all work out. But it gives areas outside of the city limits of Ferndale the opportunity to be represented by an elected official onto the board and also have their say into how some of this money is spent and where it's spent outside the city limits. So it has the potential to benefit more than just the city of Ferndale. And I think that once we get all the particulars worked out on some of the other issues, like how many commissioners and things like that, I don't know how all that's going to come into play, or if the RCW states or whatever, that I think it'd be fair for everybody.
Councilperson Watson and Mutchler and Olson.
I know that this came up before. I was willing to support a city boundaries, but I can't support a school district boundaries. There's just, we're trying to solve a problem with Ferndale Parks by creating a school district, park district. Basically, the whole school district. Now, those five people, yeah, they're going to get a lot of money, but they're not going to spend it all here in Ferndale. They're going to have a whole school district area to think about those kind of parks. And so they're going to be trying to do parks throughout the whole school district. Now, I don't know how much of this money we would get. We don't have any agreements with them because there is no them yet. And theoretically, we can do interlocal agreements with whoever is elected, whomever those five people are. But they're going to be there a long time. Because it's new, the first two people who have the highest votes are going to be there for 6 years. The next two people will be there for 4 years. So you could do a lot of damage in 6 years, depending on what you want to do. I'm not comfortable basically creating a whole new elected official group that we have to go to beg for money. We send money to Olympia, we have to beg to get it back. The county gets money, we have to beg to get it back. I just don't want to beg yet another group of elected officials to get money for our parks. I do appreciate all the work you're doing. I know you're trying to find money to help our parks. And I'm just curious, when you asked people when they wanted things to be upgraded, was there something specifically or some things that they wanted to see done with our parks? Because for me, a lot of our parks just seem like green space.
Oh, no. No. All the, actually, the first thing that I had a hard time convincing them was all the little pocket parks. You call them in town are city parks. So that was the biggest challenge. Once I identified it, just about every person I talked to, this survey would be totally different if I didn't explain to them that Hovander Park is not Burndale Park. And once I said that, I was like, oh, well, yeah, we don't go to Burndale Parks. And I would ask them why, and it was basically, where are they? So, and then the ones that we did, the ones, and I did the surveys around the parks, so people would be aware that this is, you know, I wasn't going out someplace where it was unknown, but, you know, right over there is your park. And they go, oh. And that would be pretty much the conversation. And it's like, well, what would you like to see changed? And some of them just said, just... Okay. Mr. Hansen, get some water there.
He can listen and drink.
He can listen and choke. Poor Mr. Hansen.
He was a band director. He can multitask all over the place.
Okay.
Sufficient enough answer, or are you still going?
No, that's, I mean, basically...
So did they want more toys for the kids, or did they climbing toys, or did they just want some picnic tables?
They want it all. I mean, it was pretty much, okay. It was a list of, okay, this park, can we just mow it under and do something completely different?
Okay.
So it was kind of like, it was everything. I mean, going down the percentages... 98% of the people that I talked to said we want an upgrade on their parks.
Have you talked to anyone besides the 58? I mean, did we do any kind of web stuff, do any kind of Survey Monkey or anything, or just these are the 58 people you spoke to face-to-face then?
This is what I wrote. These are the surveys that we wrote down.
Okay.
But you have to keep in mind, too, that I started doing these percentages at around 25 to see how it would, you know, because I wanted a couple hundred surveys. And the park board was like... couple hundred surveys, are you kidding? And so then I started keeping track at about 20, and the percentages that you see here stayed almost exactly the same.
It'd be nice to have 1,000.
Oh, I'd love to have 1,000, yeah.
So we could really know what people wanted.
Well, like I said, as I started doing this through...
I don't expect you to talk to 1,000 people personally.
you never know. But, no, everything... Because I was curious about that, too. It's like, okay, do we stop at 55? Because you have those surveys done professionally that, okay, we did 1,000 people out of 2 million. It's like, really? Is that really?
You can if it's random.
But the percentages are there. I mean, they stay consistent. This was pretty consistent. Nothing changed.
All right.
So, but yeah.
Councilperson Metzler?
I wasn't sure. What is the Parks Board's preference? Is it the city limits or the school district? Or did you express an opinion on that?
School district.
School district.
100%.
Thank you. I think a citywide district with some of the unknowns is a challenge. Politically, I might not know a thing, but I think I sure... Councilmember Watson's concern about a county. Well, I used to live in the county. I live near Lake Terrell. I can't see I would have been interested in something like that because I lived on 5 acres, which is like a park. All those recreation kind of things I had with the county parks and the state parks, I could feel the benefit in the city. It's hard to feel. I just feel like our chances of success diminish greatly if we're trying to reach people at the end of the world that almost goes H right there.
Grandview?
So what age were your children when you lived out in the county?
Oh, I got a bunch of kids. They were all ages.
No, but what age were your children then?
You've been at it for a while.
I don't know. They're young kids. Grade school.
Did they participate in Little League or any organized sports?
Yeah, and they came into the city, did that. Sure.
Okay.
But the other thing is,
that's an important point.
Sure.
I mean, that's
sure,
one of the
sure.
big points that we addressed was the fact that those people that are there out in the outskirts, Custer.
I'm just expressing an opinion. I think it's more likely to pass citywide than district wide. I think that could be the death knell of it. I mean, I could be wrong.
We had the same conversations. Don't get me wrong. I mean, these are all very good concerns because we had them all. I mean, just like Brent said. This has not been something that we've done lightly over the past year, over a year.
I'm also noticing in the staff report that we're currently spending about $450,000, and I'm going to sort of use the Mal Hansen gas tax argument. No disrespect, I think it was a legitimate question, is I can look at this as a council member and say, "Boy, I hope this passes because I don't have to fix the parks anymore. I got $450,000 freed up. I can sort of move that to the parks board." See what I'm saying? I can see the temptation. So, you know, they've got money over there. I can make it 400 next year than 350 a year. I'm sure there needs to be a mechanism whereby you're not going to lose the city's money. It's $450,000 that I have no obligation now to spend on parks. Because
well, 250 of it you do because it's to pay loans.
This $450,000 we're spending now, we'll pay off the Griffin Town and a few other things that pay off it. I'm not obligated as a future council member to feed the parks because now we have a parks board. So I'd like to understand how we can ensure that the current revenues of the cities don't get moved to other things. Because there's no legal way you can stop that, I don't think. Am I wrong about that? And I think that's what Mel was suggesting with the gas tax. If we raise the gas tax, we got money for roads, but now we don't have to spend as much money on roads because we have other sources.
Without interlocal, you're correct.
What was presented as is that we would contract, like we do the fire district today, we would contract to them for parks.
But let's say we're bringing in $600,000 a year in the parks district, and we have a tough year. You know, we'll cut down our share to $200,000. We could do that now.
But the park impact fees have to be spent.
And that's entirely true.
Yeah.
And your five-member parks board would say, fine, we'll cut your maintenance by that much.
So
you could do that you could say the same thing on any city budget item.
And then my last comment, just what Mel was talking about, is if there's a way we could do this so the levy amount was at the beginning somehow, you know.
Well, that's something that
but it's
that,
not.
That Gary was talking sure. about, that Seattle, they had the park board. I mean, there's politicians will say just about anything to get it in there, and they never change their mind. We all know that. So, but that's... If you've got five board members that go and say, this is our stance. I mean, we have other members back here, and, we have one more. He's stuck in. And they all, we came to the same conclusion. I mean, it was this is what we decided. And we can project that onto the voters and say, this is what we really feel. And, yeah, you could get five people, but I probably would guarantee you that there's probably a few park board members here that are currently on the board that will probably try to be on the future board. So I can't see it being a total let's burn down Ferndale and ignore everything. I think it's going to stay the same. I think that the hearts are there to make sure that the parks as a whole flourish.
Thank you for listening to my concerns. Those are some of my questions.
Sure. Yeah, we had the same concerns. Exactly.
Councilperson Olson and Hansen?
We have no guarantee like we do with our planning commission and our other stuff where so many have to be city residents and so many have to be county residents. We wouldn't have that with this, right?
No, this would be a separate elected board with a separate budget. And if you read the memo from Seattle, that's one of the main points. It's actually going back where... they wanted a parks budget, you would have to admit that, and I would understand it, that a city would look and say, our police are a higher priority, our fire are a higher priority, our streets are a higher priority, our sewer is a higher priority, our water is a higher priority. A metropolitan parks district says, we understand that, here's the budget for parks, and it's for parks only, and you know that money is the voters are deciding. It will be the voters that vote. The voters will decide, you know what, we want a separate fund for parks because we don't want to fight for sewer, water, everything. And even when we had a parks department, you know, Rob went up and looked at the notes. Even when we had a full-time parks department, he was still frustrated in some of his personal notes because he was always begging for funds. Councilperson Hansen?
Okay. My point being, we have no guarantee that we'd have any city people in here other than people saying they would run. We could end up with five people outside the city that could possibly ignore the city. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Yeah, but we have half the board members now are out in the county, and we're not ignoring the city. And we have one opening that's been open since January, that we've advertised for, and we don't see anyone from the city filling it. So,
I'm with Council Members Watson and Mutchler. I would probably support an in-city one, but with no guarantees like that. And I understand you can't make the guarantee because of the way the system is set.
Yeah, but no, I can't guarantee anything, but I can tell you for certain that if you have a group of people that are willing to volunteer their time like we have to make sure that the park system here in Ferndale is a healthy park system everywhere, I can honestly say I could guarantee that. I don't think there's going to be any group of people that wants to see a park system that's going to come in at the ground floor of this and go, yeah, let's put everything over in Custer and we'll have a $1 million playground. It's not going to, I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to work, I think they're going to look at the whole system and say, this is what's healthy for the whole system. And we brought this to the Old Settlers and the Heritage Society, too, and we brought that to their presidents and asked them if they had a concern. We invited them to one of our meetings because I wanted to hear it from them, because I always hear back and forth people say, well, you know, if we do this, then Pioneer Park is going to be, you know, torn to the ground and sold off as scrap. And we, you know, that's the Heritage Society and Old Settlers have this concern. So we went to them, we invited them to a meeting, and we asked them and we informed them and we updated them, and they said, no, this sounds great. They didn't have any worries. They didn't have any concerns. So those are the presidents of both those societies.
Councilperson Hansen?
Refresh my memory one more time. If this is a city-only district, a metropolitan district, is that
correct? Okay.
It's only it's a 60% vote?
50.
It's 50 if it's city only, 60 if it's county only.
It's a metropolitan district as opposed to a park system.
It's just the name. It's
no,
really
no, it's just the name. But if it's within the confines of only the city limits, it only takes a 50% vote to enact.
As long as it's labeled a metropolitan park district. It's all in the wording.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me either.
Because I think the tough nut to crack is going to be 60%.
We won't have to do that.
Well, if you're going to the parks district,
No, we'll be doing the metro park district.
Well, no, you are correct. If you do a parks recreation district, it's a 60%. If you do a metropolitan parks district, it's 50 plus 1.
Irrespective of the balance.
It's all in labeling.
And here's the difference is, and that's, I mean, that's why Seattle looked at it, is Metropolitan is a separate board, separate funding, the money goes to them, is not part of the city budget.
Right.
You could still have a Metropolitan District within the city limits of Ferndale, a separate board. They would still have to have an interlocal with the city of Ferndale to decide, like people saying, if you're going to spend that kind of money or not. Metropolitan District is a separate body collecting tax separately. Surprisingly, and Mr. Hoffman probably won't like this, is a Metropolitan Parks District rises above a fire district.
So what kind of an arrangement takes a 60% of vote?
Parks District.
Park District.
Parks District. It is hard to explain.
It's weird.
Parks Recreation District. Linden has a Parks Recreation District. They did it for an assessment in terms of building Bender Fields. So they built Bender Fields. Everyone was happy. If you ask them now, they go, ooh, that wasn't a great move because their last two votes, they can't get that 60%. They got 57%.
Well, I would think that no matter what.
But you see, you can't go.
No, I know, but whatever we propose would be the type of district that only takes a 50% vote. You'd be stupid to do the other one.
Yes.
I'm not calling the people from Linden stupid. So.
Well, okay.
No, they did that for a specific reason, was to acquire
your
land.
Your fears, let's go back, though, is your fears are, let's be very upfront about your fears of a Metropolitan Parks District. A Metropolitan Parks District is a separate taxing authority. With a 5-member board, you as a city council, unless you had an interlocal on parks, would have, you're exactly correct in your fears of, you have no authority to go to a Metropolitan Parks Board member and go, hey, I want $80,000 for a swing set at Pioneer Park.
and they could say yay or nay. You are correct. So there's the difference. It's a separately formed board. So it is a different type of decision. Councilperson Goodrich and then Councilperson Ingram.
It's funny, being the liaison to the fire district, some of the concerns that Councilmember Olson said, oh, there could be people outside of Ferndale on the board. Well, that was the exact same argument that was used not to do the fire district, because they were concerned that the fire district could become all Ferndale residents and nobody from the county end up being on the fire district. And so, it's funny sitting and listening to that and listening to here. They were expressing the same concerns of losing power or whatever to the city of Ferndale. But it ends up, being whoever runs, and I don't know how you could, do anything other than that, but I still would like to lean toward the school district boundaries outside of just the city boundary. I think that's the way to go, because we have so many people outside of the city boundaries that use our parks. Why not give them a say in what happens with the parks?
Councilperson Ingram.
Well, there's a lot of things that are not being addressed here. Elected boards are almost never volunteer groups. Who sets their salary?
This board is officials.
No. Your volunteers. We form a Metropolitan Parks District, and they elect a board. People don't run for office to volunteer. People run for office given a known salary. That's a fact of life.
Okay.
So who sets their salary? That's number one. Number two, if it's a city boundary, what's the income projection? Nothing has been said tonight about the difference between the incomes, county, school district-wise, city district-wise.
It's right in your packet. It's in the packet. I outlined it in black and bolded it so you can see
my,
it.
My pad died. I'm sorry.
It's about
okay,
a third.
Page 120. So let's go over it, though. We can go over it easy. City boundaries, if you did a Metropolitan Parks District, so the money stayed exclusive, 50 cents would bring in $603,324. This is based, and I base it on, you can look at... We're looking at it's 603,000 at 50 cents, 274,000 at 25 cents. That's city boundaries. School district boundaries, 50 cents is 1,959,749. 25 cents is 890. Now, so you brought up in committee that you didn't like the fact that we used an average of 250. So I jumped the average to $275,000 for a house, which we learned last week in a planning commission that's closer to our Ferndale average now is $274,000. So I did $275,000. So at 50 cents, doesn't matter if you're outside or inside, at 50 cents, it's $137.50 a year or $11.46 per month. At 25 cents, it's $68.75 per year or $5.75 per month.
I have salary in the RCW if you want to hear what the salary is.
What's the salary?
$90 a day. The commissioners basically will set their salary, and they can go up to $90 a day for each portion of a day spent in actual attendance. However, the compensation for each commissioner must not exceed $8,640 per year.
Okay. So they're not a volunteer group, as I said. I'm amazed at how many people outside the city limits have my phone number. I've been getting a lot of calls on this subject. And basically, most of the people that I have talked to from outside the city limits that have called me and said, what's up with this, say they will never support it because they're not taking their money and giving it to Ferndale Parks. They don't get the message. If you're going to go with a school district boundary on this thing, and I do not think that's the way to go personally, I think that we're giving our money to somebody else that can do whatever they want to with it if they get the majority of the board. It only takes three. If you've got five board members and you've got three from outside the county, they can shine Ferndale to the moon and say, we don't have to give you any money. We're going to spend this out in the county. We need parks more than you do. And that's a fact of life. I've been up and down this road a few times, more than a few times. I've seen this happen. I've seen places down south where they did exactly this and got hosed. in the city because the county took over the boards and just ran rampant. Okay? If we can't do good things with our to our parks with $600,000 a year, I think we're looking too high on the hog. Because that's a lot of bucks every year. That's not a one-time shot. We're talking every single year, $600,000 plus. I think we do wonders to our parks in Ferndale with that kind of money. I'm really, really skeptical and hesitant to turn that control of that money over to a group that could be completely taken over by county residents and tell us, we'll give you $50,000. Because that can happen. Sure as I'm sitting here. I've seen it. So I think we do great things within our city limits. Then we control our destiny. People like you can tell us where we need to spend that money.
That wouldn't be me. I live in the county.
Oh, would you live in the
county? Well, he meant the Parks Board.
I have other Parks Board members that would love to come home and speak.
Sure. Yeah,
okay. You want to hold your holding your hand? Would you like to speak? Come forward, sir. Name and address, and you have the floor.
Excuse me. My name is Cleo Callen. I'm on the Parks Board. My address is 8024 Dean Drive, Custer, Washington. And just to be honest, I got involved with the Parks Board because I was really trying to. My personal thing is I want to improve the city streetscape of Ferndale. But that's a side issue. Just to address your issues, Mr. Ingram, is that to say that a Parks Board that was elected by free, you know, the folks in the county or the community would do something to denigrate our parks is like saying that we're going to elect a city council that's going to denigrate Ferndale. That doesn't make any sense. Rob has spent more time and more effort and more energy than anybody that I can think of on the Parks Board for nothing. He gets nothing out of it. And none of us that are sitting on that Parks Board get anything out of it. We're there because we want to see Ferndale have a good parks. And my thought on that whole thing is the fact that it's a quality of life issue. The more types of parks and those types of amenities that a community has, it raises the quality of life in a community. And the folks that are sitting on that group, we don't get paid anything. Our only interest is just like, hey, we have an interest in parks. We have an interest in trying to improve, in my case, streetscape and parks, because I think it's a quality of life issue for the city. I mean, if you look at what Bellingham spends on parks per capita compared to what Ferndale spends on parks per capita, I don't know the actual numbers, but I'll bet it would be staggering. I mean, those folks have millions of dollars going on parks, and it's about quality of life. And I'm just saying, I would really like you folks, I mean, to me, it's like if you look at what's going on in Linden and going on in Blaine and take a real assessment of that, and just those folks are happy with what they've got going on there. And we're spending $450,000 a year on parks, and we have two full-time people, and basically what they do is mow the lawn. And that's as much as they can do. And I'm not denigrating them at all. You know, they are doing the best they can do with what's been given to them. But I just think that we can do so much more and improve Ferndale for the quality of life of the residents in Ferndale.
I totally agree. Look, I don't want you to misunderstand. You guys are doing a phenomenal job. I have nothing but the greatest admiration for you. My point here is we're spending $400,000 plus a year on parks. If the parks Metropolitan Parks District within the city limit boundaries brings in another $600,000 plus, you're over $1 million. You can't do a good job for Ferndale Parks with $1 million? I can't wrap my head around that. I really can't wrap my head around the fact that you're just trying to reach out and get so much more money. There's nothing says that if you pass this park district, that $400,000 is going to go away. John made the mention that basically it possibly could someday, but there's no guarantee that it will. That would be up to the council. Now, I can't. You're just confusing this old guy.
Okay, so I will give you that. So I think the debate is not about whether or not we should have a parks district. The debate is about whether or not what the fee should be.
Boundaries.
No, I disagree about that part. I think the boundaries should be as we laid them out. But I think the debate should it be 25 cents a thousand or 50 cents a thousand? I think that's more the issue, at least in my mind. I think that's a legitimate thing for you folks to debate about personally. But I like the idea of the bigger area, because there's a lot of people that use Ferndale Parks. And if you start thinking about connecting parks around the area and trails and so on and so forth that could connect these things, you can make a magnificent improvement in quality of life issues. I mean, I'm just thinking about bicyclists and people going up and down trails up and down the Nooksack River as an example. That's just one of the things that appeals to me, but those types of things. Now, whether 25 cents or 50 cents is the right number, I think that's a legitimate debate to have. But, I'm just talking in my personal opinion.
Debate. We don't get to have that debate. We have no say in that. If we elect five members to a board, Metropolitan Parks District Board, we have absolutely no say in what they tax. We can lobby, but we have no say in it. They set the rate, as been said at least a half a dozen times here tonight. The Parks District Board members set the rate.
But that's like saying I don't have any faith in the friggin' city council of Ferndale because you guys are going to set the rate. You're a selected body.
We asked for a gas raise, and everybody said, "Can you trust the council?" And it was a lie.
Paul, some in the audience can say, "I have no say over the Ferndale budget because you make all the decisions. I have no power over the city budget." I guess they could say that.
I guess
they didn't vote on the budget.
I guess
they voted you to vote on the budget.
But what I'm saying is, we have, as a city council, have absolutely no say in the tax rate because it's set by the party board.
True. So what you're saying is you guys want all the power and you don't want to disseminate any of it to anybody else because you're afraid somebody else might get some power and you're not going to have it. I'm just saying,
don't say that it's a good discussion for us to have here because we have no say in the matter.
No, what I'm saying is a good discussion is the rate, the taxing rate.
We have no say in the matter.
No, but you do initially.
No, we don't. We have no say in the matter. Ask our administrator.
No. The board sets the rate.
But to say that your opinion means nothing.
Well, it's true because people could run on it. They could say specifically.
Yes, that's very true. Yes. And I guess we could take this argument and say, I'm a Ferndale citizen. And I don't think the council listens to me at all, and I don't have any say. I mean, I guess we can go around and around in that circle, but no. I don't think it's a realistic statement.
But initially, the initial rate, isn't that something that the council?
No?
Absolutely not. It either has to be 50 cents or 25 or whatever.
Anywhere in between.
But they get to set what goes on the levy tax rate on the vote.
Cleo, let me stop you. Is in the Metropolitan District, their organizing committee that had a lot of money said, we are committing to this rate, and here we're running the Metropolitan issue. Now, that wasn't a legally binding. They say, we are committing to this rate. And that was the opposition. You've read the opposition. They don't legally have to do this. As soon as they're, as soon as you write and you elect them, and you decide that they could change this to 75 cents. It's 25, 50, or 75 is the max. Now, they came back and said, but we have promised to say that we're going to go this. In Seattle, they went 50. Well, but that wasn't legally binding, so I guess that's like a lot of things. I mean, we have a governor who said he'd never raise taxes, but, you know, that didn't last. Councilperson Lester.
Mr. Callan, thank you for being here. Did you say you live in Custer?
Yes.
Kind of near where in Custer? I don't know the address, but I mean, just
East of Custer on Lindenbridge Bay Road, Dean Drive.
Okay. I'm looking at the 502 map. That's the school district, the boundaries of the school district that we're proposing here, and I'm concerned that it's such a big area, the further you get away from Ferndale that you might lose support. Our school district boundaries almost go to H Street, which is like stone's throw from the Canadian border. It goes southeast almost to the Guide Meridian and Slater. I can't read the road, but it's getting pretty close. It includes Lummi Island as well. So when I think about those extreme areas, I just think the further away we are, even though it's supposed to be an all-district committee, you get less support. And so Lummi Island too. I'm wondering, does it have to be all of 502? Can it be a mod? Could you leave out Lummi Island? Could you tighten it up a bit? Because it just seems like you're not gonna get the support the further out you get. You live out that direction. Do you think people are attracted to a Ferndale Parks district even though they're living out in the Toonies?
You know, I really don't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
I know that you like to ride bicycles, and I like to ride bicycles, and I ride out there, and we ride out to Lummi Island, and we all enjoy that. And we could have some bike,
my friend.
and we could have bike trails, you know, maybe. I mean, that's just a possibility.
One of the other Parks Board members would love to respond instead of you. Would you yield the floor to a Parks Board member?
Thank you, Cleo.
Welcome, sir.
Eric Elton, 2632 Cairn Drive. I'm also one of the park members. My daughter goes to Custer, and I approached a few parents at our parent-teacher conferences and the PTO meeting, and a lot of the parents said that they come to Ferndale, and they use Pioneer Park, and a lot of the Custer parents said that they would use Ferndale Parks. So a few of the Custer people, you know, like... agreed that they'd come. And then also, my sister lives out on Burke Road, which is, she has a Blaine address and Linden phone number, and then you go about a half a mile, and it's the Ferndale School District. And my sister was out there, she knows a bunch of people, so we went and talked to somebody that lives on, the east side of Burke Road, and they said that they may not support it, but they still would come to Ferndale. They would support the measure because... I'm confused. Okay.
They support it or don't support it?
They said they'd support it even though they're out of that far out of the district because their kids come to Ferndale, they play soccer at the new soccer fields, and they also play Little League. So I talked to, the Custer parents and people out on by... that farther district said they'd use it. So
wouldn't the selling point be, if this is an all-school district, there would be new parks out in their neighborhoods? Isn't that kind of...
The answer is yes.
Yeah. So they would have...
I guess that's, in the Parks Board, you can kind of look at these amounts and go, oh, God, that's a giant amount of money. How much money would you say, in today's dollars, to replace ConocoPhillips and Pioneer Park for grass space? How much money would it cost to replace it somewhere out in the county that's going to pay taxes to have a park in that area someday? How much would it cost to replace Pioneer Park and ConocoPhillips? $1 million? $2 million? More? More? Yeah, you're not. Yeah.
ConocoPhillips probably around 10.
I don't know. At times, ConocoPhillips is maxed out now. We're building 150 homes at the very edge of the Ferndale School District off of Thornton. That isn't going to stop there, folks. Yeah, you are correct. These kids probably don't all live in the city limits of Ferndale. They probably live outside. They live in the Ferndale School District. Someday, are their kids going to want to go to a park? Are they going to want to come into Ferndale? Go, no, I'm not coming to Ferndale. ConocoPhillips is filled. I don't know. What do we do with them? We're building smaller homes with smaller lots. Will there be a need for a park to the north? Yes, there will be.
That is required.
Councilperson Goodrich.
This being a presentation tonight, what it seems like we're getting into more of the further discussion by, or I don't know where we're going or how much more time we want to spend on the presentation versus moving this forward to committee or wherever we need to go next, Mr. Administrator, with this.
It's been to committee.
Yes. This requires a vote of the... You would need to commit to putting a ballot issue on the ballot and pick a ballot. And
they're looking at what?
And the first step would be you decide city or school district boundaries.
Right.
Then we go to the council, because the council has to go. It's similar to the parks. You know, very, very similar to what we just did with the fire district.
If we go school district or either way?
No.
No. City boundaries would be, you'd be the only controlling factor. Outside of it, we'd have to go to the county council.
You have to go to boundary review board as well.
I think Rob wanted to jump in just for a second.
Yeah, there was one thing. The numbers are staggering. You keep going back to this is, you know, what can we do with this number? What can we do with that number? And there's a while back ago, you know, I ran through these that same thing with Gary. I said, geez, Gary, you know, we have this amount, and he's like, don't think about the amount. It's $13 a month.
Regardless.
Okay, you have 1.9, or you have 600,000, you have 100,000. It's $13 a month. When I went around and talked to the people outside the county and inside the city, that's what I told them. I didn't say we were going to pull in $1.9 million or $600,000 or $300,000. I said, this is $13 of your money to support a stellar Ferndale park system, whether it's out in Custer or Lenny Island or here in the city. So, and they agreed. I mean, that's what this survey was for. Was to show you. I mean, you keep going back and saying, well, the people out in the county aren't going to support this. Well, 58% of the city residents that I polled, along with 42% of the county, said they would. So the people in the city thought that the county people should help and that it was okay to put a park out there. We had Stacy, I forget her last name.
Miller.
She knows people out on Lummi Island, and she presented this to the people out on Lummi Island when she was on our board for such a short period of time. And the people out on Lummi Island said, I love this idea. Can we get a trail? Really? That's all they wanted, was a trail. They didn't want a $1 million park. They didn't want ConocoPhillips. They didn't want to burn down Ferndale. They just wanted a trail. So, you know, have a little faith in the general public. I don't think that they... I think everyone, like Cleo said, wants to have a quality of life, whether it's in the city of Ferndale or the people that enjoy the city of Ferndale outside the city itself. It's still a quality of life issue. If we sooner or later, I mean, if you go through our park master plan that Yori put together, is that we are ending up out in the outskirts. I believe that there is, in the future, a park that is going to be required in the far outskirts past Thornton. Is that correct, Yori?
Yes.
So, we're already there. Why not plan for the future now, is what I'm asking. And I would like it to go to the people so they could vote and put their 2 cents worth in. That's all our proposal is.
Okay, so what you're asked is, because, you know, time is clicking, is if school district boundaries, a motion to direct staff to bring back a resolution declaring that it is in the public interest to create a metropolitan park district to encompass the Ferndale School District boundaries within the intent to send said resolution to the Whatcom County Council for placement on the November 2015 ballot and to authorize staff to begin the process submitting, I don't know if that's still November... No, that's not enough time.
That is not enough time.
There's time.
Okay.
You can do that.
Whatcom County boundary.
Yeah, keep in mind I need 3 months.
If city limits, motion to direct staff to bring back a resolution placing creation of Metropolitan Parks District on the November 2015 ballot. We also need to determine the governing body. Is it council or ex officio? That would be on separate those things. I'll close with saying I remember when Bellingham first did their greenways, and I said, God, this is never going to go. They didn't have a giant plan. They just said, you know, they really didn't have a detailed plan. They said, we're going to build trails. We want to build trails in Bellingham. We want to connect trails. Voters said yes. So then they came back, Greenways 2. We want to build more trails. It's working really well, and it works out well, and we want to do it again. I said, ah, it's never going to pass it. They're never going to pass it. They already got Greenways 1, Greenways 2. Now all of a sudden they start building trails. People love it. Then they came back and said, oh, you know what? We need maintenance now. We need a Greenways for maintenance. Metropolitan District covers that. You're going to make a brave decision. You can say no. You can say, just like the gas tax, you know what? We don't want to even ask the public their opinion. We don't care about their opinion. We're not even going to give them a chance to say yes or no. You can say we're going to do it in the city so you can have control. You can say you can go to the metropolitan district. I don't know. I don't know where you want to go on this. You can decide not to do anything. Big decision for the future. Could this be a great thing in the future if somebody says, God, I'm glad they did that someday? Yeah. We're the only area that doesn't have a parks recreation district. Blaine has one, encompasses Birch Bay. Oh, gosh, that's too big of an area. Man, they're feeling terrible about that situation. Linden has a parks district. Should have went to metropolitan district. Can't get anything passed. So I don't know. I don't know your decision. You know how my feelings about parks. I feel bad that people in Ferndale go in and walk the South Bay Trail, walk... get a Woods coffee and walk that trail. I go into Bellingham, walk their trails all the time. I love their system. That's great. I don't see where your vote is, but if you decide to go a different direction, that's okay. I don't know how many of the parks board I'll keep, but we're going to have to sit down and talk a different
direction. Do we have to make that decision tonight?
Well, your timing is getting there. You could put it off, but you know,
you want to be in the metropolitan.
I don't know how much more you can discuss it where you make
it. Can I direct a question to Yuri?
Sure.
To clarify, the Parks District is on the far north that was referred to just a few minutes ago. That is within our urban growth boundary.
Yes, you are correct.
That is correct. Thank you. So it's in the city limits.
Yeah, but it's still...
Councilor Smetchler?
Can I ask a question about the Bellingham Greenways? Were those 50% or 60%, the greenways?
I think 50.
Because it's a lifting of the levy.
Right, and so... I'm wondering if a way around this, I'm uncomfortable if it's just the city to have a separate board because we have so much overlap. It is our parks. Can we consider the idea of lifting the levy limit and getting the same result, additional money for the parks board? I'd like to look at that as an option. We're not. It seems like it's a sure thing.
You can do it within the city, but you have no authority to lift the levy on the county.
I'm leaning towards the city anyway, Mr. Mayor. So,
Sam's done some research on Greenways.
You have to take all of your bank capacity to do that.
Which we,
That's what, 3.5?
We're at 3.5%.
2.5 flipped, right?
It just seems to me that that's a cleaner way of doing this, and we have a fixed amount. The voters know what they're voting for. We're a fixed amount. And this council then is responsible for it instead of dealing with another board. We've got a lot of shared real estate there, so could we consider that in committee? Look at the implications of a Greenways, getting us to where we want to go, but a different route that seems a little cleaner to me. A
couple thoughts on that. One is, as Councilmember Hansen said, we would have to use our bank capacity, so you won't have the opportunity to do that until this time next year. Actually, this time in November next year, because that's when we set our property tax levy. You can't take your levy, your excess levy, your bank capacity during the year. So we have to do that during next budget season. So that would, by necessity, push this discussion out a year. And I believe I still have this clear. If we set up a metropolitan parks district and use the existing city limits as the boundaries, you all can be the Metropolitan Park District Board.
Similar way you do for TBD.
Yes,
you
wouldn't, that's correct.
There wouldn't be a separate body if you stayed within the city limits. It's only when you go outside the city limits and encompass the school district boundaries is there a separate elected body.
But I'm just saying, I run the interurban every week, because I park my daughter for dance, and it's right there, and I do it. I love it. I wish we had it. And it's been such a sure thing for Bellingham. They're number 3 now, right? I guess I want this to go. I want this to work. I want there to be money for these guys. And that seems like something we should look at least a little bit here.
Well, it's nice. I mean, last month we could have taken the bank capacity.
And there was no support for it. So
I don't know if this would have changed that.
I don't. Well, for me, one, no.
Yeah.
The one concern I'm having personally here is that we were given questions that we were supposed to go and ask the people of Ferndale. and the residents of out in the county. And we did exactly what you asked. And this is our report. We did exactly what you asked. Would you support county, city, how much, this, that? It's all right here. So your concerns, you're saying, sound personal to me rather than what you should be reflecting here on our survey.
That's not true. I mean, how many people live in the school district? What, 30,000 people live in our... How many people live in the school district? At least 13,000 people live.
Oh, there's, in terms of their citizens, there's more outside the citizens.
How many people live in the entire school district?
It's actually pretty close. So
okay.
It's say, you know, you're I think that's... You already okay. Helped me. I think
it doesn't need to be exact. We can do plus or minus.
District and 13 in the city, I believe.
1,000 population?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's approximately that. I think it's 17.
Okay.
12, 5.
Yeah. So, and... I'm just telling you, statistically, you talked to 58 of them, okay? And I know that you asked good questions of those 58 people, but you talked to 58 people out of 30,000 people. And statistically, this has no meaning. And I hate to go scientist on you, but it's just statistically it has no meaning. I appreciate that you talked to those 58 people.
So, okay. I mean...
This is not... Personal.
I know, but this is, I mean, we were presented the questions. I went to the people and talked. So it doesn't matter what we do or what direction we go. It's the same excuse. Yes.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry.
I think I'm done.
How many on a survey is adequate? Councilperson,
it would depend.
I think
on
we're past the point of arguing. We're trying to get to where we're at so we could thank Mr. Nordhaus to sit down and let us decide.
All right. Councilperson Goodrich?
Okay. Just to see where we're going to go throughout the first motion, that we direct staff to pursue a metropolitan parks district with the school district boundary.
Second.
Okay, been moved and second. Any further discussion?
No.
Okay. Clerk, roll call vote.
Councilmember Watson?
No.
Councilmember Hanson?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
No.
Councilmember Ingram?
No.
Councilmember Mutchler?
No.
Councilmember Birch?
Yes.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Yes.
Fails 4-3. Any other motions going forward, or this issue is just going to float off into space?
I personally am not looking to send anything to the voters right this instant about parks. That's just me personally. I mean, the rest of you can do.
I'll second Councilmember Ingram's motion.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I think he did make a motion.
Move to direct him to direct your staff to bring back this park, metropolitan parks district within the city limits.
Okay. And move it and seconded. Okay, any further questions? Councilperson Mutchler?
We'll get a second. This is not a final resolution to send to the voters. This is to have staff work on this and bring this back to us.
They'd have to bring an ordinance back.
Yeah.
Okay, so I could support this tonight, but I have a second chance to chew on this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any further questions or discussion? Clerk, roll call vote.
Councilmember Watson?
No.
Councilmember Hanson?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Ingram?
Yes.
Councilmember Mutchler?
Yes.
Councilmember Birch?
Yes.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. We'll go back to staff and come back with some more pertinent facts and ordinance on this. Okay, thank all of you for your discussion.
Thank you.
We will attempt to move forward in a different direction. Okay, next up is the, before you is the motion on the Lodging Tax Advisory Board. Council, this is a up or down vote. The Lodging Tax Advisory Board has given you a list of recommendations. You can vote yes to move this forward. You can vote no, and it will go back for discussion. Councilperson Olson is first hand up, and then next is Councilperson Goodrich.
I'm kind of confused with this because this is the first one that we've ever, well, that I've ever questioned in 7 years. We're not allowed to discuss something that we have to reject the whole thing if we don't like one thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure it says no discussion.
Oh, no, you can, no, you can discuss it, you can debate it.
Yeah, you can discuss it. It's just your end vote would be, you can't change, you can say yes or no.
Yeah. Well, I could be the sole person up here, but I just have a problem with the amounts that the visitor center is to get, which is basically, by my calculation, was 68% of our LTAC money every year. It's somewhere in there. I'm not going to say it's exactly 68%. Well, quite a few of these took substantial hits. And I'm also looking at the letter from the chamber that said, just the because LTAC money cannot support the chamber, period. Only the visitor information center. And that the visitor information center basically costs $48,000 a year to run. And that's a huge amount. And I went by and I've looked at it, and that's a small space, and I think that's a huge amount. I would like to see a little bit more distribution in here, or perhaps using some of the other money for your vision, which is to get sprinklers in Pioneer Pavilion and get that thing going so that it can be rented. I was told.
Really?
Yeah. It could.
Yeah, we can.
Okay. It's for tourism.
Oh, because.
And I do have, you know, I have a representative, the president of the chamber, would like to, you know, some of you probably haven't spent a lot of time hearing about the visitor center, so I have the president of the chamber here prepared to ask questions or give a presentation on it. Is that the extent of your questions, or do you want floor some more?
No, that can be it. I can ask them more later.
Kristen Goodrich.
Oh, we're gonna get them. Do you want them to answer that?
I didn't really pose a question.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna make a motion that we approve what's been presented.
I second. Okay. Further discussion. Councilperson Ingram.
Well, I would like the president to at least answer Councilmember Olson's point.
Okay.
I think that everybody could benefit from hearing the facts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd like to invite the president of the chamber up to speak. Your name and address, sir?
Larry Hoffman, 5515 Northwest, and that's in Bellingham. And I appreciate the opportunity. To answer your question, Councilman Olson, the visitor center, while you drive by the visitor center and you see a small space, it does take staff time.
That's in there.
Yeah, and we had nearly 3,000 visitors stop by the visitor center in the last year, and every time that they come, the chamber staff helps them unless there's a volunteer. We do have some volunteer hours that amounts to about 6 hours a week to staff it. Otherwise, it's staffed by our executive director and our events coordinator.
So this, and I don't mean to interrupt you, you're saying that the chamber helps. This has $30,000 a year for staff. So is that the chamber staff, or is that
the chamber staff is runs the visitor center less 6 hours a week, correct?
Okay, so that's more chamber.
Well, we run this. We've had a contract with the city for a number of years. We've enjoyed a great relationship with them for as long as I can remember. The Visitors Information Center has been run by the chamber. It's a nice mix. It brings people in, gives us a chance to redirect people to your parks in the city or outside of the city, and also to local merchants. It gives us the opportunity. It's just this nice symbiotic relationship. Sometimes people come in there, have a question. Somebody might come in from the chamber and still ask a question or take one of the brochures, use one of the local merchants.
Because your question is there labor in, is the chamber's employees labor that takes to run the visitor center within this budget? Is that what you, or
he just said it is.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I mean, okay. I think that is.
Well, if that's the case, then if just the visitor center is $30,000, I don't know if you have to answer this, but what exactly does the chamber person make?
There's two people that work there. We have staff and benefits, two people.
Well, I got another one for $2,000 for summer help.
And we do. I will, yes. During the summertime, during the peak, for the 3 months, we'll hire somebody for 4 hours a day to help out.
Okay, so you have like two in a four-hour day.
Yeah, well, we have one person that comes in from like 9 to 1 or whatever during the summer.
Okay.
But the chamber staff... I don't mind saying that our whole budget for wages is and benefits is about $82,000 a year for two people.
Okay, so we're paying just under half.
A little bit. Well, no, because you're paying a part of that is rent.
No. $32,000 is what would be in is what this has.
Just for salary.
Okay. Salary. Yes.
And you just said $82,000.
82, yeah, 50 and 32. So basically, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
If you move to Pioneer Pavilion, which is going to be our event center,
yes.
Do you see these costs going down or up, staying the same?
You know, there's always ways to work around that. Obviously, if you own the space and we don't have to pay as much rent, it would lessen our costs. That's a possibility.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I have a concern because you look is, and this is a great concern. But you look is when the library moved from the police station to Pioneer Pavilion, their readership or the amount of books they check out increased 41%.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that was fantastic. I think it was attributed to access, more parking area, easier to get in and out. Certainly, I think we're going to see that. So I don't think his budget is. Certainly the amount of visitors is going to go down. I think it's going to go up. It's interesting to know, we thought the library, it basically came to about a 46% increase on Main Street. And we thought, oh, that's just because it's a new building. So I talked to Sarah Friday, and I says, how's your numbers? She goes, Gary, they're going up. I think we're about 48 to 49.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to me. It's just she's getting new people. But I think it's a new library, that's great. I think a new visitor center will increase that. A better look will increase that. The parking lot will increase that. I have a fear that, I guess I'll go a different way than Larry. He's going to come to me in the middle of next year and go, hey, this is enough money. We got people coming out of our ears, which is a great problem to have. That's the first thing.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. What people don't understand is some of the subtle intricacies of operating that visitor center. That place in the summertime can be an absolute pressure cooker. If you take our events director, our executive director's busy doing her job quite well, I might add. The events director's in there, and if there's not a volunteer out front, when that door opens, she drops whatever she's doing and runs out to help a visitor, a customer. That would be like you trying to fingerprint somebody, and every time you roll one print, you got to run out and take care of something else outside of the office.
I don't have $32,000 worth of help.
But what I'm saying is the fact that it is a serious pressure cooker, and if we get the visitor center moved down to the pavilion, get it set up the way they want it set up, and if we end up doing what you and I have talked about doing, putting a dump station down there for RVs. Oh, yeah, you're going to see a big increase in visitors.
Yeah, because we fully realize that people come to the visitor center and can't find a place to park, so bypassing and go to Bellingham.
Yep.
We recognize that. We feel that will increase the visitor center traffic exponentially.
Not that I was offering to increase your budget.
No, I didn't ask for it. I saw what was going on here.
Now,
Hold on.
Yeah. We talk about the comparison of total wages versus the visitor center. For rent, $8,400, that's $700 a month. What's the total rent?
That is the total.
That is our rent.
Yes.
Can I speak to that?
Can you speak up to the mic for the record? Thank you.
So $700 is the rent for both visitor center and
the point of my giving you the budget the way that I did is that could be the visitor center. It doesn't matter. You can move it here. You can move it across town. You can move it somewhere else. You're still going to pay rent. You're still going to pay utilities. So taking the chamber out of the budgetary mix doesn't change those numbers because you still pay rent, you still have utilities, you still have to have Wi-Fi, you still have to pay heat, phone, internet, and staff, plus their benefits. So that's a pretty minimal wage job position with minimal benefits to run a open, as our contract requires, every day, all day, 5 days a week, bar none. And so that's why it looks the way it does. Because if you took the chamber, which is a completely separate entity that is just contracted to run the visitor center, then you have a business you have to run. And I don't know how many people in this room want to run a business at $32,000 a year or $36,000 a year and do it well.
Customer Solson.
Now you've raised more questions than
That's okay. I'm good with that.
Well, no, it's not a good thing with me. When you're saying the rent is $700 for both of it, for both facilities, we just got through saying we're not supposed to support the chamber. So you should have, you're deceiving. It should
but
have
it's also $12,000 more.
Pardon me?
I'm showing you a $48,000 cost. So really, what I didn't do correctly was percentage it out. But if I did, I think it's going to come down to the same amount of money. So, my bad, you're right. I disagree. I agree. I see what you're saying. I should have showed it as a percentage of space.
Because you're saying that the rent is $700 for the entire thing when you specifically call it out is for only for the... We wanted to know what the Visitor Information Center costs were. You didn't break it down.
And I think the answer to your question, Councilman, is if we... Let's just say for a second we split the two up.
Okay.
And we walk away from there and go get office space somewhere else. It's still $700 a month to have that visitor center space.
That's kind of what I was saying.
The majority of that space over there, over half of that space
is
visitor center.
Because we have a bunch of stuff in storage.
Because it takes up the storage in the back.
Yep. Bathroom.
We can't store our chamber stuff in that building. We store it over at...
For another cost, which isn't included in it.
Okay. Well, No need to go any farther with this. I think it's going to be another one of my famous 6-1 votes.
So we never want to count votes ahead of time. Any other questions or discussions from council? Councilperson Goodrich.
Just a question. I noticed that the LTAC was down this year. Is that because of our 30-day and longer stay people at Scottish Lodge that we will not have next year, or the fact that I know Super 8 was doing some long stay stuff with the Coast Guard. They had Coasties staying there, so I don't know if they would have paid as much this year.
Yeah, it probably affected them. I mean, they don't have to pay for long-term stay. So I mean, the funds were significantly down this year. Obviously, we can't tell you statistically that because we can't track it that tight. We've asked, but you can certainly tell by driving by the Scottish Lodge and driving Motel 8 where you would probably extrapolate that out, but we can't tell you exactly.
But I'm just thinking we have Motel 6 now instead of Scottish Lodge, so in theory we should have.
One would hope. I'm certainly Motel 6 Corporation hopes to.
Yeah.
I'm sure it certainly has to be an improvement. Oh, I didn't.
Otherwise, you're not leaving the lights on for you.
There you go. Tom Baudet. Okay, so there's a motion before you and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, so now your vote yes would be to move forward with the LTAC recommendations as printed on your agenda. A vote no would be to send it back to LTAC for different consideration. Okay, so all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
Told you.
Please note for the record, if anyone kind of figured out, it was a 6-1 vote. Okay, next up is the downtown permit incentive extension. Again, we would welcome our community development director, Mr. Burnett.
Hello again, council. Last year, the city council adopted a measure that would temporarily, through the end of this calendar year, December 31st, 2014, create two incentive programs. We talk about downtown incentive program extension, but really there are two programs within them, within this. One of them is an incentive on small businesses, defined as 25 persons or less, coming into the city of Ferndale. That program requires full payment of all administrative fees as per normal at the time that you get your building permits, with the potential to rebate 50% of the administrative fees back to them at the time of occupancy. That applies citywide. The other program is within the downtown, which allows for a 100% waiver. You don't need to pay the fees for administrative fees within the downtown core when you are developing a redeveloping a non-conforming use or developing a vacant piece of property. As I said, it's due to sunset at the end of this year. We told council last year that we would bring it back to you. It hasn't been terribly successful, we feel, in part because it wasn't well publicized. However, we do have someone that's waiting in the wings and actually by the end of this year is expected to pay their impact and connection fees. I do also see that there are a couple council members that might want to make a motion. I do know that there is at least one individual in the audience that might wish to comment, but I'm sure that he would agree not to comment if council members are wanting to approve it.
I was just in rapture watching Yuri talk, so I didn't notice who put their hand up first. Was you? Okay. I'm going to trust Councilor Zinger put his finger up first, so your floor.
Move to accept the extension, please.
Second.
And assume, are you the second? No, she was the second. Okay, she's the second. Okay, you have a discussion point.
Yeah.
And then Councilor Mutchler has a discussion point. Okay, Councilor Goodrich, your floor.
At the committee, I was the one that the consensus was to move it to a consent agenda, but I made the motion not to put it on consent agenda because there was some discussion at the committee whether or not to do a one-year extension or a two-year extension. So I wanted to bring it forward to the council for to talk about the two-year. I do have one question for Yuri in regards to that before I make a possibly amendment to the motion. Can we make this... instead of if we did a two-year extension, can you make it in such a way that it's a definite? I mean, there is no chance for further extension.
I don't think that you can hamstring yourselves in the future or future councils.
No, I know. Okay, because you know we did it for this year, and then I said, okay, we'll do it for next year, and then we're gonna, you know, is there the option then? Well, maybe we'll do it for a third year because now they're going to be advertising it. Does it? One of the questions that came up in committee was, would that give another builder or something the time to get all their ducks in a row and stuff? If we just did a one-year extension, and therefore a two-year extension would have been, you know, be better to give the builders the chance to put all their ducks in a row and do their financing or whatever they need to do.
If I could comment on that, I would love to be able to force an applicant who already wishes to come in here to make Ferndale his priority. So, you know, Scott Hillius, for example, is in the audience. I would love to tell Scott that now is the time that you're going to be building in Ferndale and to put all of his other projects outside of Ferndale aside to concentrate on this. And I think by having a time limit on there does force him to do that a little bit more.
No, he does. He's not crying or complaining.
No. Not yet.
He's smiling back there. Councilperson Mutchler.
Well, he had the time limit, and it's ticking down tonight. Tick, tick, tick. I wish Councilmember Goodrich had made the motion, and I probably will, but it seems like in the building world, a year is a blink of the eye. You're thinking about something, you're going to buy property, you're going to investigate it. I think the incentive is a great idea. We don't want to give away the farm. We can't keep doing this forever because it costs the city. It does cost the city. But it's not had success yet. And I voted last time to extend it longer. And I think the reason is that it takes a while to get people's attention, to get them engaged, to get them to do this. So I'll make the motion that Councilmember Brent was at least dreaming of, that we would amend it to make it a two-year thing, 2 years
give developers a chance to go at it and get something happening here. I think it's too easy to say that wasn't enough. And a year from now, I'll look back and say, this wasn't enough time. So let's give it a two-year chance and hoping there's a second in them. I haven't been good on amendments tonight. I'm hoping one will fly here.
I'll second it.
So I'll third it.
Okay, so it's moved by Councilor Sprecher, seconded by Councilor Goodrich. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing no discussion on the amendment, we will vote on the amendment. Everyone understand and has heard the amendment?
Extension to 2 years. Okay, all in favor of the amendment only signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
I believe it passes.
6-1.
I'm used to that. Hey, it appears to be 6-1. Am I correct?
I can leave with a smile.
Okay, yeah. You got two. Okay, 6-1.
But now we have to pass.
Okay, so now the main amendment, which would pretty much be an easy slam dunk. Yeah. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That would be 7-0.
Thank you, Council.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Helios. We would expect to see a check soon.
Yes.
We can actually, you can just write a check tomorrow for $18,500. We can balance the budget.
However, that would not cover his full expense.
Okay, 25. Okay, moving on. Mayor reports. I have
No, there's more.
That's right.
There's no
the discussion.
Escape.
Why are we talking about this? Senator Toledo.
It probably counts. 6-1 anyway.
Oh, suck it up. I had one.
Councilperson Olson, you brought this forward, so the floor is yours, sir.
You again.
I know. Greg, correct me if I don't want to misspeak for you, but we seem to remember having a discussion on this already, that Lego should open once Mr. Braithwaite put the final, what do you call that?
Lift. A new surface lift on
Sith. Right. And that would open that, because that's how it was originally voted, was open at both ends.
That is correct.
Yes.
I'm going to disagree, so go ahead.
He has the floor now, so.
Sorry.
Okay.
You will have your
Well, there was three of us that were there. One of us has a faulty memory. I won't say that. Anyway, back to that. There is no reason not to let people in and out of there. We, Lego, from Civil South is pretty well all good street with the fourplexes. We did a major expense when we did the police department and fixed the intersection. The majority of traffic, I believe, because there is no study that it's going to go the other way, is going to go that way to Main Street to get in and out, coming home from work, what have you. That's just a shorter route than going up Vista, going around the roundabout, out Ferndale Terrace, and then down again. That would make no sense because you go around the roundabout and go right in the east end of Sill. So I guess we're here because I would like to see that opened up so that people can proceed out of there. And I've heard rumor that there was one particular resident that didn't really like it. That's not a concern to me of one person, the overall good of everyone. So apparently we need... Pardon me?
Are you making a motion?
Okay. I guess if we need a motion to... Thank you. If we need a motion to open up Siddle and remove those ecology blocks and try it and see if it creates any problems, I'm sure Chad will tell
try
us.
Try it for an extended period or just try it?
Just try it. And if it comes up where you think it's a problem, come back, tell us why, and we can put the blocks back.
Okay, so I'd have a second.
I second it.
Okay, there's a second, so we can continue discussion. I believe Councilperson Hanson, would you like to speak first?
The agreement with Mr. Braithwaite was more than an overlay. It was curbs, gutters, sidewalks, and the radius is at the end of Siddle into Lego, and a radius that would take you to Lego and then on to Ferndale Terrace, with an upgrade of the intersection at Siddle and Lego. He's dug a sewer line and did an overlay because you had to cover up the sewer line and make it pretty. It's nowhere close to what the agreement was. He got out of that agreement on a legal technicality. When this development first came up, the council that came very close to saying, Mr. Braithwaite, you need to put a second entrance out of this, out onto Washington Street, or to Ferndale Terrace, and yes, that will require you to buy a home. Well, it turns out he had a duplex. It was right where it should go, and he could move the duplex or tear it down or do whatever he wanted. Oh, no, no, I'll fix CITL. Curbs, gutters, sidewalks, and radiuses. You don't have curbs, gutters. You've got an improved surface. Now you're going to dump traffic, and I disagree with you that Lego has now... Lego's a mess. Lego's got some parts of the street that have been upgraded, some parts that are still just mostly chuck holes. You're going to either dump the traffic onto Lego or you're going to dump it onto Ferndale Terrace. It's got to go one way or the other. I just don't think it's fair to the residents, not the one you're thinking of, the residents that are on CITL, and there's about six homes, maybe eight homes, six to eight homes,
yeah,
that are actually on CITL, who for 40 years have enjoyed a dead-end street, and now all of a sudden are going to dump the traffic. If the deal had gone through, and they'd have gotten their sidewalks, they'd have gotten curbs and gutters, hey, that was the deal. But the deal was not just, okay, when he overlays the street, we're going to get to open that up. So I strongly disagree with opening CITL.
Councilperson Goodrich?
But Councilmember Hansen, to use that argument that the people have enjoyed a dead-end street, we've had a lot of tracts and stuff where people have enjoyed a dead-end street that all of a sudden new development comes and their dead-end street is no longer dead-ended.
Well, I agree, I agree with that, but the dead-end street was to be improved before it was to be used.
But do we require that of other developments that would come into an existing dead-end street that may not be improved, that they have to improve that outside? I don't think
so. Well, that was
the
legal technicality.
To me, the legal technicality, aside the point, what the original intent of the council and what after the courts decided are two different animals.
Well,
and therefore, if he is in his legal right to open up CITL, I don't know why we can't.
Well, he's not within his legal rights to open CITL. We have to open CITL.
Why would we deny him opening CITL when we would deny another development to use another?
Because CITL hasn't been improved from his development out to Lego, and there has not been the radiuses put in. I fully agree that once the city does the work out there, and Lego's been improved, and Ferndale Terrace has been improved, that should be obviously opened up. I don't think it should be opened up, and I'm not arguing for the sake that they've been there 40 years, but what they should be able to expect is that the street be improved before it be opened.
But my question is, do we require that same improvement on another project if it was in a similar thing in part of the city?
I don't know. I'm not calling on you yet.
I don't know.
I'm in different order, so it's Councilperson Mutchler, our Community Development Director Burnett, and then our Public Works Director. So, Councilperson Mutchler, you have
and the floor. I may defer to Chad just because I'm inclined to try it. I'm inclined to say, let's give it a shot, but I want to hear from Public Works. I mean, it's not a great road, but we got lots of great roads. In fact, I heard somebody tried to pass a gas tax because there aren't great roads, but that's just an aside here. But
let it go.
It seems to me we could try it, and if we don't like it, put the bullets back up. But
so you're asking a question, so I will prefer. He's directly talking.
I'm indicating
to you,
so my support,
you can,
but I'd like
yielding
to
the floor to you.
Thank you, Councilmember Mutchler. I did take another drive by there today to kind of get a feel for what improvements were made on CITL. On both sides, including the overlay on the west section, just east of Lego. My main concern is I've talked to a few people, I've talked to Bo as well, our yard is right there, and they observe a lot of students walking through there as kind of a pass-through right now, just the way it is. That's really the only alternative you have. You're on a bike or you're on foot, and you can cross right through there. And so students have been using that. That's just one point I wanted to kind of put out there for consideration. Is safety. My goal is always is a safe situation for motorists, pedestrians.
Is it a sidewalk? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's just there's sidewalk once you get cracked, right past the ecology blocks, which is the barrier.
They're walking down the middle of CITL then, probably.
No, they're pretty smart kids. They'll stay on one side of the street until they pass through. The point being is there's no sidewalk or curb and gutter on the older section of Settle Lane just east of Lego, the area that we're talking about now connecting, which was once a dead-end street. I'm not opposed, per se, to opening it up to see how people respond. There are quite a bit of fragmented sidewalk sections in that area. I would love to have a chance at some continuity. This section of Lego is on our six-year tip. It's definitely, from a vehicle standpoint, north of Siddle, that pavement is in pretty dire straits. Could use some love. Part of this would be, in a perfect world, yeah, we have curb and gutter sidewalk continuous on Siddle. It'd be great. We'd have it all intertied. That could potentially happen if we had a capital project there. We make the improvements to Lego, and we throw Siddle in there for some sidewalk improvements and some drainage would be what I would envision, piggybacking those two projects to see it as an effective option down the road for the city to make those improvements and make that connection for safety more than anything. Drainage isn't a big problem there, but safety for folks walking would be, because you do have a lot of sidewalk there, but then you've got a lot of missing sidewalk.
So what is your recommendation? Open it or close it, or keep it closed?
My recommendation right now, looking at the alternatives, which are Ferndale Terrace, you've got Washington Street, you have options to move and navigate through that area without it. If there was a real drive by people or drive from the residents there to say, yeah, this would be great, let's open this up, I have not heard from the community much on this. I have not heard complaints, really significant complaints, one way or the other. So I always side on the side of safety, and I would prefer to see it closed. That'd be my professional opinion, because there are other alternatives that are already used that are safer alternatives, so that you're not creating more opportunities for pedestrians and vehicles to interface, especially in an area where it's probably likely going to start becoming a safer out-to-school kind of situation just because the improvements are there and it's a straight shot. So
since I addressed you originally, I was going to follow. Have you, because I haven't, been in roundabout area there during the busy rushes in the morning, afternoon? Because that's the theory, is it would alleviate some of that congestion there when it's crazy.
I've gone through there right when school's getting out, and that, yeah, it can be a little chaotic, but it is a very short window of the day, and a lot of that also is because there's people on foot as well trying to navigate through the roundabout at the crossings. And the setback crossings at roundabouts are always kind of a troubling point, in my view, professionally, because folks tend to not pay as close attention coming out of the roundabouts for pedestrians because of the setback sidewalks. Coming into the roundabouts, it is safer. People see them sooner, but we could talk about that all day, but I think it's manageable for, 23 and a half hours out of the day. But there's my two cents. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer any questions.
So floor goes to Mr. Burnett and then to Councilperson Olson.
Just in response to Councilmember Goodrich's question, I just want to clarify that at this point, I think it's staff's position that Mr. Braithwaite has completed his obligation. So any improvements subsequent to this would be the city's responsibility.
Councilperson Olson? I disagree with your assessment of that, because the kids walk down the street. Because if we use that assessment, we wouldn't have built that roundabout. Because that's absolute mayhem at the time they get out. And that mayhem just shifts, apparently, somewhat, because not all the kids go up Siddle. A portion of them go up Siddle. Those people that bought into that were told that there was going to be two entrances in and out of that, because that's how we initially improved it. Granted, stuff was supposed to happen, but that it didn't happen. Be that as it may, it shouldn't impact the whole thing. We had talks with the fire department that they would like to see both entrances in and out of there, and not just that particular one off of Vista. So I don't see how we're using arguments that we don't really even know if they're going to work, because we don't have any traffic figures. We don't know what's going to go on there. They may be very well happy with the one, and we don't. So we could throw some counters down and see what happens, see how many go to the south, see how many go to the north. But at least try it, instead of giving somebody free RV parking for the rest of our lives because we don't have money to fix the street because we didn't pass the gas tax.
So the motion before you is a vote to try it. So basically, it's just moving right. the removal of the ecology blocks. Basically, not much expense for now. It's been moved and seconded.
Quick,
Councilperson Watson, you have further discussion.
I just have one quick question. If we move them, we've made the decision to open it, and you know, 2 hours later, a child gets squashed because they're used to not having cars there. Have we taken on that liability because it was our decision to open it? I mean, I'm assuming we take on the liability no matter what we're doing, but...
I'll throw that at our public works director since our legal representation is not here.
Super
Remember
Sam's
that,
not
you know,
here.
You could be sued for your statement.
Anything well, you say will be used against you.
Thank you, Mayor. let me kind of back up just a minute. I'm not opposed to opening the street. If that's what the council directs, that's totally fine by me, and we will certainly make that happen.
Okay.
My only point in my comments was I feel there's some alternatives. And if for safety, if we didn't have to do this, I would recommend not doing it. If we say, let's try it, hey, there's no harm. We can certainly try it. We cannot necessarily control what might happen tomorrow, in my opinion, if somebody walks across the road and we opened it up.
Are you going to have to do
it's still a city street. Today it's a city street. I mean, somebody could drive 40 miles an hour into an ecology block and
so
it's still in the middle of
the street. Is he answering your questions?
So we don't need to do any striping or anything. The roads, if we just move the blocks, the road's good to go. No striping, no crosswalks, none of that.
No, it's continuously paved road. It's a minimum of 20 foot wide. So
okay.
we could do 25 mile an hour standard postings. And it'd be, yeah, we could just open it up tomorrow.
Councilperson Olson?
You mentioned alternatives.
Well, as far as how people can drive through the area, how people can walk.
Yes. What's the alternative?
The alternatives that I saw first glance was Ferndale Terrace. I drove the entire area for half an hour, looked at alternatives. Well, how would I get around if I lived in this neighborhood? Driving up, I mean, there were options unless I lived or wanted to go right down and settle. Otherwise, I can go up to Ferndale Terrace, head to the roundabout, which I find easier to navigate. You have limited turn access as well at Settle and Vista, so that right in, right out.
I'm not sure we're talking the same language. Is there another route to get in and out of there other than Vista and Settle?
Not at this time.
Okay. So the alternatives are pretty much none other than going in Settle and out Settle, correct?
Correct. Right now, that is correct. Yeah. I didn't realize that was in question.
Okay. Any further discussion? We have the motion before you. The motion would be to open it and try it. Remove the ecology blocks and try it. So, seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. It's passes 6-1 with Councilperson Hansen.
But I was louder.
Okay, moving on. I'm a little over my student time, but we're going to roll through. No, did I say that you could say anything?
Students have to go.
We'll reach out to the world.
Yeah, I think we want to announce, publicize this.
Yeah.
You are very correct.
And maybe even the 6 folks or eight.
How about a ribbon?
Yeah, okay. Great. Okay, moving on to mayor reports. Last week, council, I had the pleasure, along with some other elected officials, of riding around Whatcom County with Secretary of Transportation Lynn Peterson. She wasn't nearly excited about some of our projects as I was. She was kind of like, oh, yeah, Church Road's nice, you know, looks like a speed trap. She said, well, people are really going to enjoy driving fast in there. Where she was impressed, which she went back and she just could not believe that Ferndale, the Lummi, City of Bellingham, and Whatcom County had all contributed money to create the roundabouts on Slater. And we actually took the bus around the roundabouts a couple times, and she, again, said, you did this for $300,000 and 5 days worth of work. How did you do this? How could this be done? And her assistants were going, no, it's all legal. They did all permits. Everything's right. She goes, well, we've got to rethink of how we're doing because it really works. Now, it's amazing they show the statistics is it's pulling traffic off Grandview because some of the BP workers are going there because it's faster now. And so it's just an example of maybe, you know, she says, wow, we're going to have to go back to Olympia and rethink this. This is amazing, the traffic numbers, because they've done counters on it. 5 days and 300,000. We drove around the roundabout at Lummi, which was ended up total of 2.2, and she goes, 2.2, 6 months, 300,000, 5 days. So she gave me a couple other ideas on sign diets that I'll talk to you more about again. But she was impressed with what we're doing, but she was more impressed with cities work together to create something in 5 days. So good for us. Other than that, no mayor reports. Council reports. Councilperson Mutchler is first.
The senior center has their open house holiday Xingning 1 to 4 on Saturday. You will want to avoid the 1 to 2 o'clock hour because there's certain council members playing the piano during that hour, so avoid that hour. But
you can put a hat out because they need...
No.
The budget was denied.
Yes, that's to cover the budget.
Councilperson Ingram.
Well, before you go to the senior center, from 10 o'clock until 12 o'clock, you can come over to United Church for our community meal, which is our Christmas meal of glazed ham and scalloped potatoes and all kinds of yummy stuff.
What's the dessert?
The dessert is Christmas cookies baked by the culinary class at the high school.
Okay.
All right.
There you go. That's enough to get them.
That should get them out there. And I would like to invite the Public Works Director to come up and survey the intersection, the center of the intersection at Church and Slater, or Church and Thornton, because it is just a crumbling mess. So.
Any other council reports? Councilperson Watson?
Not too late to give to the Holiday Giving Store. They're going to be at the Canard Nation Building, Suite 1, on Wednesday between like 9 and 11. So if you haven't had a chance to drop off a gift yet, you can do it then. I don't think they've picked up in the lobby yet for the City Hall. Did they? Okay. So come to the Canard Nation Building Wednesday, 9 to 11.
When is that in? When's the last time to...
The last time was about 11 o'clock on Wednesday. It's the last time you can give them anything.
Okay. Any other council reports?
Suite 1.
No, seeing none. Department reports. Finance director.
Nothing.
City administrator.
Nothing.
Planning.
Say nothing.
Tomorrow, Central Elementary School at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a fire safety meeting and for all the community businesses. So hopefully anyone that has a business will attend.
6 o'clock at Central.
Drop
but you're not having Christmas cookies.
That's all you need to know.
I hope I do.
Well, you're not having Christmas cookies at that. You saw they were excited about cookies. You got to have cookies.
We're not getting
You know, your ability to have people there is...
To your event.
You know, it's really going downhill. Okay, Public Works?
I do have one quick thing. That we just found out we made the short list for Tier 1 for Safe Routes to School funding for the Washington Street Project, which is the last funding element that we were waiting on. So hopefully, once the legislature passes the state budget, we're good to go as far as all of our funding sources for that project.
New sidewalks on Washington coming.
But the legislature has to do something. So
needed sidewalks for
what's
you.
That?
Great.
Portal?
Washington. Washington from Vista. Okay, Sister Clerk, anything?
No.
No. Police Department, anything? Okay, motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned.